This morning we've heard again the wonderful story of the Nativity, the account of how our Lord Jesus Christ, truly God and truly man, was born of the Virgin Mary in the little town of Bethlehem, to one day, having lived the perfect, sinless life, die willingly as our substitute upon the cross on Easter, at Easter, so that we might be forgiven and redeemed. Our Lord tells us that there is no greater love than this, to lay one's life down for one's friends. And Jesus does this for us, even whilst we were yet his enemies, that we might be adopted as sons and daughters, reconciled, and become friends of God. What love is this? That our God, the creator of heaven and earth, the Lord of lords, the King of kings, he who has made everything with his hands, would look upon humanity, you and me and all we know and all we have ever met, every human being throughout all of human history, his creation that so often rejects and insults and denies his existence and gracious rule, and yet still choose to come and make his home among us. For this is the miracle, that on Christmas Day, we are celebrating that our God truly is Emmanuel. That our God did not sit in the highest heavens and look down upon us and say, you stay down there and I'll stay up here and we'll kind of just coexist with one another. By no means. Rather, our God took on flesh and came in love to live among us, suffer like us, and die for us, that we might be forgiven, restored, and made whole. The love and mercy of our God is shown most clearly to us in and through the Lord Jesus' life and death. And we are invited, in the face of Christ laying down his life willingly for us, to come to Jesus and lay down our lives before him. We've heard a lot about wise men and donkeys. Well, not so many donkeys this year. About shepherds, about Mary and Joseph, about a baby born in a manger in Bethlehem. What does all of this look like for us? What does it look like to follow Jesus today? What does it look like to follow him each day on the run-up to Christmas and in the year ahead? Well, in the light of God's amazing, redeeming love, this then is how we are to live. Firstly, we are to love God with heart, soul, mind, and strength. With all that we have and all that we are to go to the Lord and say, Lord, I love you. Use me for all that you would use me for. Help me to know you and grow in my relationship with you, for I believe that Christ died for me and came to rescue me. Secondly, as the Apostle John writes in his first letter to a group of believers that he knew well, we are to love one another. And not just in kind of a fuzzy, emotional kind of way. It's not meant to be, oh, you know, I love you, Robert, you're great, or I love you, Rian, you're wonderful, or I love my wife. Not that kind of love. No. We are to love one another as Christ loves us. We are to look at Jesus' example and say, okay, if Jesus loves me that way, then I am to love my brothers and sisters in the church the way that Jesus loves me. This is not tolerating. Amen? Jesus does not tolerate you if you're one of his. This is not putting up with. This is not turning a blind eye to one another's sin. This is not actively disliking but putting on a brave face in church. This is not harboring bitterness toward one another. This is not bullying one another. This is loving one another. If God is willing to take hold of rebellious, dirty, and smelly sinners like you and me and draw close to them, to rescue them, to clean them, to set them free, and to welcome them home, if God is willing to step into the muck of creation to come and grab us out of the mud of our sin and bring us into his arms and never let us go, then we too are to draw near to one another in that kind of way. To hold close with one another, to love and care for one another, even when we say things wrong, make messes, and don't get things quite right. to hear each other, to seek to understand each other, and to draw close to one another. Why? So that when the world sees the way that we love one another, they too will say, what love is this that this ragtag bunch of miscreants have for each other? And we will say, naught but for the grace of God. For we really are an odd bunch, gathered from generation after generation, from nation after nation, from every social class there is in the UK. Why? Because God loves us and has gathered us to be his family. Look around. There are people in this room who you never would have met if it wasn't for Jesus. Many of those you're married to. I sure as anything would not have met a wonderful Yorkshire lass from a very different background to me if it weren't for the Lord Jesus Christ drawing us together. And as we look around this room, we have brothers and sisters, fathers and grandfathers in the faith drawn together by the love of God. And so in response to that, we are to love one another, to seek the good for each other. Now that might sound quite lovely and fuzzy, but Jesus, ever in his wisdom, does not leave the line there. If you have your Bibles with you, I would encourage you to turn with me to Luke chapter 6, which, if you've been reading along with our Advent readings, you would have read last Saturday. So hopefully still relatively fresh in your memory. Jesus says, "But I say to you who hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you. To one who strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also, and from one who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic either." I'll skip down to verse 32. "If you love those who love you, what benefit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what benefit is that to you? For even sinners do the same." Skipping over the bit about lending for now. "But love your enemies," verse 35, "and do good and lend, expecting nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be sons and daughters of the Most High, for he is kind to the ungrateful and the evil. Be merciful, even as your Father is merciful." Friends, in light of God's kindness to us, in light of the magnificent, amazing, undeserved love of God that is made most clear through the life, death, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, in the light of the Father sending the Son, empowered by the Spirit, to be born among us at Christmas time, to live with us sinlessly, to proclaim the good news, to die in our place, and then to be raised to life for our righteousness' sake, we are to love the ungrateful and the evil too. We are to love. Love. Not tolerate, not put up with, not turn a blind eye to. We are to love the ungrateful and the evil too. Why? Because God loved you when you were ungrateful and evil as well. And he still loves you when you find yourself acting ungratefully and wickedly again. That does not mean that we love the evil and the ingratitude that the people are expressing. But we are called to love them as the Father loved you and me enough to send the Son to rescue us. Now, this Christmas time, there's going to be a lot of opportunity for ingratitude, isn't there? I didn't want 52 pairs of socks. Why is it that I'm sat here with a big bowl of sprouts again? I've expressly said no more sprouts. Can I get an amen, brother? Ingratitude is something that so easily comes at Christmas time. Evil is more subtle. But if we define evil as all that which takes the goodness of God and says, this is mine and it's not from him, then my goodness, are we going to experience a lot of that this Christmas time, aren't we? We're going to meet with and spend time with and love people who are going to say, thank you so much for all these wonderful gifts. That's very kind of you. They're mine now. My precious. We're going to encounter a lot of people who are going to say, why can't we just call it Xmas or Happy Holidays? Why does it all have to be about this Jesus fellow? Because it is. Because the greatest gift ever given that we all should be so grateful for is the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, coming to rescue and redeem, to seek and save the lost. So this Christmas time, Let us not just love one another, although that is sometimes hard enough. Let us not just seek to cling to and hold one another as Christians in love and faith and generosity, but let us do what Jesus tells us to do, to love the ungrateful, the evil, the wicked, and the lost, enough to share the good news that Jesus came for them too. For he came to seek and save the lost, and he found us, and there are many more still that belong to him. So as we go to our family homes, as we invite our family and friends to come to us, as we find ourselves out on the streets singing carols, let us do so with hope in our hearts and the gospel in our mouths, trusting that our Lord seeks and saves. We are merely his instruments and his servants. So let's trust him with the outcome and get stuck in, not just to turkey and tinsel and the trimmings, but to sharing the good news. For that's how people experience the love of God, in his presence, hearing that he has come to rescue them. Amen.